Mini episode 364 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge with mini episode number 364. FDH Lounge dignitaries Rick Morris and Kyle Ross coming at you for our NFL wildcard preview. Wishing all of you out there, you and yours, a happy new year in 2014. And as we take a look back at the 2013 part of this NFL season, the regular season that it was, I ended the regular season as follows: 8-8 last week on all the games, 2-1 on my big three, 1-0 on my lock pick. That left me for the season 121, 126, and 9 on all of them, 23, 27, and 1 on my big three. Not too impressive until you figure that I started at 0-12, believe it or not, and 8-8-1 on my lock picks. Again, I started at 0-5 on those, so that was a pretty good rally, actually. Kyle, getting over 500 here, 1-0 last week, I believe 32, 31-1. We're going to cheat a little bit, Kyle, because, again, when you and I were down and out early on below 500, we told everybody, jump on us harder at this point here. So if people did that, if people listened to us when we were at our worst, they came out ahead at the end of the season. I'm going to stick to that. That's my story.
How about them Cowboys is all I got to say. What a Cowboys. They couldn't have drawn it up any better, but I'll take the points, and I'll take an over 500 regular season. Now I just need a profitable playoffs here to ensure a profitable year, and that's what I'm aiming for here. Not too crazy about any of these four games, though, this week. I got to be honest with you. I guessed the lines before they came out. I was pretty much spot on all of them, much to my chagrin. So nothing jumped out to me right away, but, at least three of the four here, I think I got an ATS winner for you.
Good. And for the first time, I will be giving out a 1,000-star gold-plated Lock of the Millennium for a playoff round. I haven't done that previously, but I'm looking to do that through the season. Because I closed with eight winners in my last 11 decisions here, I'm greedy. I want to get over 500 for the year clean. I want to be in profitability, so I'm going to be giving out lock picks the next couple of weeks as well so that I can do that. And, again, it's going to be very interesting breaking these down. A last look back at the regular season, I want to put this out there. The same place you can find this show, go check out the latest FDH Lounge power rankings at the FDH Lounge Multimedia Magazine. That's the fdhlounge.blogspot.com, as well as a metric that we came up with that we haven't done previously, actually two of them. One is power rankings for strength of schedule, and that's actually just strength of schedule rankings, I guess I should say, based on our power rankings. Going through and looking at that, who everybody played during the course of the year, the difficulty of the schedule, and then from there, a separate matrix that was giving credit for strength of schedule and then also impressiveness of victories. The number one team in the NFL this year on that metric, just slightly ahead of Seattle, the Arizona Cardinals, who Kyle Ross eighth in the FDH Lounge power rankings, they are sitting at home. So well played, NFL. You always have to have at least one team out there who's better than one, two, or maybe three teams in the field, and this year it's Arizona.
Yeah, and that was a team, as you may recall, Ricky, that we talked about very early in the year. You and I were kind of scratching our heads at the time, but I had read that a lot of folks in Vegas really liked that Arizona Cardinals team coming into the year, and boy, were they right. They were playing really, really, really well at the end of the regular season. They were probably better than a team in the East or the North throughout the regular season. I'm guessing with your power rankings not having them in front of me, but that you had them rated higher than any team from the East or the North at the end of the year. So, yeah, they kind of got a bum deal there, but who would have guessed it that a division that produced the 7-9 winner not that long ago would then have all four teams being 7 or 9 or better in 2013. So, yeah, tip your cap to the NFC West, and we shall see if Seattle can make good what I said before the year and win it all. I hope they can.
Absolutely, and yes, you are right about that. I have Arizona rated 8th in my final regular season power rankings, Philadelphia 10th, and Green Bay 12th. So, yes, I have them above two division winners that are in the playoffs. In the NFC alone, I actually have them rated higher than Indianapolis 9 and Kansas City 11. We'll get to that matchup here in a second because that's what's going to kick off the weekend battles here. I know from talking to you off air, Kyle, I've got Indy and Kansas City still higher than you've got them slotted.
Yeah, I also wanted to say one last thing on Arizona that just came to me.
Yes.
They will not be as good next year. You heard it here
probably
first.
Probably not.
First 2014 prediction for you. They will be the trendy pick that does not come true in 2014, and they will not match last year's win total. Just going to say that. But
that's
right. Here we have, you know, you talk about Kansas City and Indianapolis. I actually think these are the two weakest teams in the entire playoff field. I have Indianapolis rated one spot higher simply because of the fact they won the regular season game in Arrowhead. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, in great detail here in a moment. But the Chiefs are a team who were the trendy pick this year and made good on it. If you go all the way back to the start of the season, I said this team would make the playoffs at 9-7. They outperformed that expectation, which I was a little scared of because everyone was picking them to go over a win total of 8 when they'd only won 2 games the year before. Now, they obviously upgraded the quarterback position with Alex Smith and, of course, the coach with Andy Reid over Romeo Crennel. But this line, Ricky, I'm sure when you look at it, was a bit curious in that the Colts won so in such a dominant fashion in the regular season meeting on the road, and they're only laying 2.5 here, not even getting the token 3 for home field advantage. Now, what's interesting is the Chiefs were actually 7.5-point favorite for that regular season meeting. So the odds makers have certainly upgraded the Colts and downgraded the Chiefs a little bit since then because, you know, usually if they were to view the teams exactly the same, it's kind of a 6-point change and you have a line, you know, closer to Chiefs -1, actually. But obviously there's been a somewhat of a shift. And the Colts have ended, you know, it's funny. I don't like the Colts as much as most people. Other than Andrew Luck, there's nothing I really like about this team. I've said this many times before on the program. I did not think they would match last year's 11 win total. They did, but they were also 6-0 in the division. Only 5-5 in non-division games.
Worst division in football. Worst division by far. Worst.
Yeah, and you know they were the only reasonable team in that division. Now they, you know, you do have to tip their cap to the win over the Colts the first go around. But this whole notion that the Colts are over the Chiefs. Too many C's here, but that, you know, there's this notion that the Colts are red hot. I'm sure you've heard that they're playing their best football of the season. Have you, other than Kansas City, have you seen some of the teams they've beaten? It was Houston and Jacksonville and Tennessee. As a matter of fact, Kansas City is the only non-division team they've beaten since losing Reggie Wayne in the Denver game.
Right.
So I'm going to go Buck convention and buck what happened the first time here. And I'm going to take the points in a game between two even teams. I know Kansas City has not played well down the stretch. That 9-0 start was a mirage. Their defense has somewhat imploded. But if you look back at that first meeting, here was the key. They turned it over 4 times. The Colts did not turn the ball over at all. If that doesn't happen here, and if Alex Smith can take care of the ball, which he's more than capable of, I think Kansas City goes into Indy and picks up their first playoff win in 20 years.
Very intriguing thoughts there. Yeah, it's a 2.5-point line, as you mentioned, and it opened at 1, which really just kind of shows you that I think the odds makers didn't have a real good feel for this, which I can certainly empathize with because I have a hard time getting a good read on these two teams here. And again, I'm not buying into it as you're not about, oh, the Colts are so molten hot at the moment. No, I'm not really seeing it. But as I look at this here, I'm going to differ and I'm going to take Indianapolis purely because I think that the whole narrative about the Chiefs that we've heard about them this year and everything that they did, I think if you go back and you look at it in that 9-0 start, again, everything we've heard about the defense of this team, and I understand that in recent weeks they've really kind of battled injuries, but statistically this has been a defense that has been more bend but not break, exactly. Not really horrible in terms of giving up yardage, but not an elite defense against the run or the pass in terms of yardage. They got a lot of turnovers earlier in the year. And if you go back and you look at those 9 wins early on, the most impressive one that they had, I think, was Philadelphia, and that's when Philadelphia was going through their early kind of struggles. Philly came out week one, really took it to Washington, and then they went through the doldrums after that, which we'll talk about that a little bit later. That's our next game, actually. But Philly kind of was going through some tough times there. Kansas City just seems very opportunistic with that 9-0 start, and that's the first thing that we do this team through. You know, so I look at it now, and it's just like, I want to throw most of that out the window. And if I throw most of that out the window, it leaves me without any case for picking them on the road. You're looking at a situation where this is going to be a crowd that's really jacked up at home, a chance for Andrew Luck to get his first playoff victory. It just seems more favorable to me. This is more of an anti-Kansas City pick on my part than it is a pro-Indianapolis pick.
You know, a lot of the negative things I said about Indy, Ricky, could also be applied to Kansas City. Their 5 losses this year were 2 to Denver and Peyton Manning, 2 to San Diego and Phillip Rivers. Now, the second one obviously comes with an asterisk last week as they,
yes,
you know, kind of gift-wrapped the win for San Diego, even though San Diego tried to screw it up. And then to Andrew Luck in Indianapolis, they really didn't beat a lot of great quarterbacks during the course of the year. And that Philly game you referenced, you talk about Philly going, you know, kind of, at that point, was a much different team. Mike Vick was still their starter at that point, and he turned the ball over a ton in that game. It was a Thursday night game. I think you and I were actually hanging out that night, if I remember.
Yes.
And so you talk about the turnovers, you're right. When Kansas City, at the beginning of the year, they were generating a ton of them, and that was setting up their offense. Then the Colts game, it was the reverse. They lost the turnover battle 4-0, like I mentioned before, and we saw what happened there. So this is one of those games, honestly, I know this is a really lame cop-out to say, but you're going to know, I think, pretty early in the game who's going to win here based on the turnovers. Whoever, I mean, turnover margin is so key normally in the NFL, but even more so in the playoffs. Whoever turns the ball over more here is going to lose the game, bottom line. And Andrew Luck did cut down on his interceptions by about, 50, I think, 50% from 18 to 9 this year, but still – you know, he can make some mistakes. He doesn't have a very good receiving core. The Richardson deal was a bust. The Colts defense, you know, at least the Chiefs defense was perceived to be good at the beginning of the year. The Colts defense has never been perceived to be good. I've always thought they're a band of overachievers. So, you know, between the two teams that I like the least, I'll take the points here. Although I'll say this, with Indy, as much as I don't buy into this, their hot argument, couldn't they be like last year's Baltimore in that they're just a real high variance team? They have some real marquee wins on their resume. Granted, they were early in the year. But don't you think they're the kind of team, you know, if you're looking for a non-bye week team here in the playoffs that maybe could get hot to run to the Super Bowl? I don't know. Their ceiling is higher than Kansas City, I think, but I think their floor is a lot lower.
Well, the notion of having to go to Denver at some point, again, I don't take seriously the notion they could get it done there. But I see what you're talking about in that way. By the way, also, as far as how both defenses are regarded, and this goes back to, again, Kansas City getting a lot of respect for their defense, particularly earlier in the year. But as I said, primarily based on their ability to generate turnovers. And mm-hmm. I never look at any defense in it. They're such a great defense. You know, if you're that reliant on the turnover, give me a defense like Seattle or Arizona or somebody that just doesn't let you move up and down the field as much, because that's less fluky. Turnovers are sort of inherently fluky. Some of it is you have the ability to generate it, but they're so fluky. You know, actually, Indianapolis, marginally better statistically, stopping the pass than has been Kansas City. I don't think a lot of people would believe that, but it's true. I mean, they're pretty close. The thing I'm going to fall back upon, my last word on this game, is that aforementioned statistic that FDH generated here, the rankings for impressiveness of victories. And like I said, this is basically half your points in this thing come from the number of wins, and half of them come from strength of schedule based on our power rankings. Both teams won 11 games. So you would think that they would be maybe somewhere in the ballpark of one another on this, on our strength of schedule thing here. What you've got, the way that it plays out, Indianapolis placing 12th, Kansas City placing 25th. It goes back to, again, that schedule that Kansas City had, playing in the NFC East, and again, they did not play. It really sounds kind of strange because Indianapolis was in the worst division in football, and yet their schedule allowed them more impressiveness. Part of that comes from, again, they played the NFC West. So I suppose if you have four games against the NFC West, that's going to do a lot to make you more of a sound kind of a team here. In a word that I'm going to use probably in our next game as well, a term that I wonder about Kansas City and the glass jaw, because Indianapolis, they've been high variance, but Indianapolis has stood in there against much better teams overall than has Kansas City. That's why I'm laying the points.
Yeah, Indianapolis, it's really odd looking at that NFC West slate that they played. They beat both Seattle and San Francisco, but then they also got crushed by both St. Louis and Arizona. Now, St. Louis and Arizona are a very good team, but those results, I think, would leave some scratching their heads. And that's kind of the Indianapolis Colts of the last 2 years in a nutshell to me. Like I said, it's not my strongest pick of all time, but I'm going with the Chiefs plus the points.
Okay. It's going to be very interesting to see how that one plays out. The game that I think is clearly the game of the weekend is the nightcap one. I think we all saw this a million miles away. This was going to be the Saturday night game on NBC with Philadelphia hosting New Orleans. And another one, again, I will take my hat off to you if you had a good sense of what the spread was going to be going in, because that's another one where I would have found it a little bit difficult to figure. 2.5 points that Philadelphia is laying at home against New Orleans, and we took it for granted a good part of the year, Kyle, that even if New Orleans got run down by Carolina, which for much of the year it was hard to believe they could make up the ground, but they did. I think a lot of us figured that, okay, well, even if they do, they're going to be favored. They're going to go win on the road in the first round. And all of a sudden they end up getting a matchup that is not as favorable to that, A, because of the cliche of cold weather. They're a dome team, OMG, cold weather. And Philadelphia, with what they've been doing with that offense, how difficult it is to stop the run, and in terms of the pace of it, the fact that the defense has tightened up at least a little bit recently, all of a sudden you've got a scenario that leads to Philadelphia being favored at home Saturday night and a fair number of people actually picking them to cover and win.
Yeah, you know, I guess this was the one spread maybe I was off by a little bit. Because of those struggles on the road, I knew the Saints would not be favored in this game. I was figuring it would be closer to a pick 'em, maybe Eagles minus one. I do have the Saints rated higher in my power rankings. The Saints have kind of been in that group with the 49ers, Panthers, Patriots all season. Quartet has sort of bounced around between number three and number six in my power rankings throughout the year, with Seattle and Denver being the top two, obviously, and no other team being able to crack the top six.
I have New Orleans four, and I have Philly 10 for what it's worth.
Yeah, I think mine's very, very similar to that. Well, I have New Orleans six. I have New Orleans six, actually. I know that.
Okay.
So I have them a little lower. But still, you know, you talked about the Saints getting run down in the NFC South. You know, halfway through the season, who would have expected it? The Panthers got hot, and that is going to hurt them. This is a franchise that has never won a playoff road game ever, and they do play a lot worse. I mean, it's not, while a lot's made out of it and it can grow tiresome, it's not just a talking point. There is some truth to it. This team averages only half of what they average at home on the road. So I mean,
right,
we're looking at about a 17-point-per-game difference. So there is truth to it, and, you know, this is the fact that they are the 6 seed instead of the 2 seed, in my mind at least, all but disqualifies them from Super Bowl consideration.
Yes.
Now, you know, that loss in Seattle they had on Monday Night Football, you know, the potential for a rematch, you know, even if they were the 2 seed, you know, I wasn't really too high on New Orleans winning the NFC anyway. But, you know, this does hurt That said, it feels like the better team is getting points here. I know Philly was red hot, and look, they even exceeded my expectations, which were pretty lofty, if you remember. I said this team would go 8-8 before the year. I tipped my cap at Chip Kelly. Believe it or not, folks, his offense does work, and it's with a quarterback who I think can't even maximize his system. I think this team, interestingly enough, is going to take a step back next year with Nick Foles. I think while it was great for 1 year, I don't know if Foles is the great long-term answer that he's being made out to be. He did have one heck of a year, but I'll believe it when I see it long-term with Nick Foles. Drew Brees has gotten it done before. I'm going to take the Saints plus the points, despite how they've played on the road down the stretch. I just think they're the better team.
I agree with you. I'm taking the 2.5 points as well. And again, to go back, I'd reference this for the last game. The statistic that FDH has devised for basically half credit for victories, half credit for strength of schedule. New Orleans placing fifth. Philadelphia, this surprised me, placing 30th. They really, when you dig into it, notwithstanding the fact that they played the AFC West, I think the second toughest division in football, somehow they still managed to have a very low metric there. Philadelphia just really strikes me as a team with a glass jaw, because, which is something I said in the last game about Kansas City, because it's kind of a similar thing here in my mind. You're looking at a situation where the Saints, they've played a lot of big games this season, and yeah, they've won some and they've lost some, but they've played a lot of games that would really set you up for a situation like this. And Philadelphia hasn't. That's kind of a donut hole on their resume as far as standing up there in terms of the number of quality wins. I mean, even like when they played Green Bay, that was without Aaron Rodgers. That's sort of typical of how it's gone for them this year. Yeah, they had Arizona at home. I'm not saying that they played nobody, but I'm saying that there is a real gap between who they played and who New Orleans played. And maybe it's just stubbornness on my part that I'm not ready to let go of what I've said yet about New Orleans making a run. And I'll tell you this, I will give credit here. I'm not, as you know, a Rob Ryan guy, but this is maybe his best year of coaching defense. You're talking about a defense that's held teams in the ballpark of about 200 yards per game passing. I think they're going to take DeSean Jackson out of the game Saturday night. And that is really going to change the equation for Philadelphia. The one thing I will say in terms of how they match up, and I'll give credit to Bill Barnwell of Grantland for this observation that I read there. You're looking at New Orleans looking to impose their passing game versus Philadelphia looking to impose that speed running game and the speed of the pace and everything like that. If Philadelphia can impose that, it will also help their defense because it will disrupt Drew Brees. It will keep them out of rhythm. It will work to disrupt that. So I understand all of that there. But I think the fact that DeSean Jackson, who has been such a huge part of this Philadelphia offense, who's had his best season in the Chip Kelly system, I don't think he's going to be a big part of things on Saturday night, and I think that's symptomatic of why New Orleans will win. They won't even need the points.
Turnovers here, just like the previous game and just like the next two games we'll talk about, are going to be key. The Saints have only forced four of the last nine games. The Eagles have only turned it over five times their last eight games. So, you know, that's going to have to be rectified. And you said turnover is kind of a fluky stat. When you take them away, all of a sudden what you thought was a good defense can look very average or worse. Just look at the Chicago Bears this year, for example, of that. The Saints are going to need to force some turnovers. Weather could be an issue at Philadelphia. We saw that one dome team did not adjust well to that earlier in the year, Detroit. But, you know, I trust Drew Brees a lot more than I trust Matt Stafford. And I think so much is being made of these road woes for the Saints. They're going to be especially fired up to change that. You know, when they came in that Seattle game a few years ago, overconfident by all accounts. This game, they are the underdog. I think that helps them. Now, if they win here, they would have to go to Seattle next week, which, you know, I think it would be all over with the shouting there. But, you know, the Saints are a team I expected to be here. The Eagles surprised me a little bit. So, better team in the points, take them.
That's exactly how I look at it. I will just say parenthetically as we move on to the Sunday games here, this is one of the reasons that I like our playoff shows just in terms of enjoyment a little bit more than the regular season. We're not rushed into talking about 16 games in the course of about 45 minutes. I like the chance to kind of let it breathe here, as we've been able to do. We go to the Sunday games, and San Diego in the early game will be looking to avenge the ice ball of the 1981 AFC playoffs. You knew I was going there.
Yes, I did.
You knew that, Kyle Ross, yes. Cincinnati is laying 7 down from the initial 7.5.
Yeah, you know what's funny, by the way? Are they more interested in avenging that ice bowl loss or the one they had in, what, was it week 14? Which one do you think is on Philip Rivers' mind more? The one on December 1st, 2013, or the one on January 1st, 1981? But, by the way, Cincinnati, it's funny that you mentioned this. I'm looking back, they've actually beaten them 3 times since 2010. So they've really, they kind of had their number here.
Okay.
This little run Marvin Lewis has had. This is, it's interesting. 3 of the 4 games this weekend are regular season rematches. The team that won the regular season game is favored all 3 times. So,
wow.
You have Indy over Kansas City, and then you have the game that we have yet to talk about, San Francisco and Green Bay, and then this one. That's really not much. I guess it shouldn't be that big of a surprise. And this is the game I like the least on the weekend, Ricky. I don't know about you. Probably has something to do with the only game where the spread is over a field goal. And I'm chickening out, and I'm not picking one. I'm not picking this game.
I'm going against what my initial impression was on this. Because my initial impression, and I mentioned to you off air earlier today too, I think Cincinnati is going to get hammered by snow on Sunday, albeit we on America's North Coast are going to get 4 to 8 inches from what I'm seeing. Cincinnati, it might be more like around 3. 3 is borderline to where I'm really going to call it a huge impact on the game. Because that if you're talking about through the course of the day, that may be dispersed. It may not be as much during that 3 to 3.5 hour window. But still, and looking at it, it does have the potential to be one of these messy 9-6 kind of games because of the weather. So I was all in the direction of wanting to take the points here and take the Chargers. And my skepticism about Cincinnati as a playoff team, but the more I look at it, and again, there are people that are getting carried away. You and I have talked about this. That the impact of losing, especially Geno Atkins off of that defense and how it really affects how we see them as a playoff team. I have Cincinnati rated 7th in my final rankings. I have San Diego 13th. So, again, there are a lot of people that are getting carried away. I believe it was Jeffrey Chetta on ESPN.com who's saying they're going to make a long playoff run. Nah, they're not the same team that they were earlier in the season defensively. And it still comes down to Andy Dalton. So I'm looking at all of this, and I'm going, I don't like Cincinnati's recent history. I think they're going to win this game, but I don't like laying a 7. And then I started to think, again, is that what the wise guys want you to think? Is that what Vegas wants you to think? Because, Cincinnati,
They're on both sides of this game, as with both. Okay. Believe it or not, with all 4 games, the quote-unquote wise guys, they don't really love any side in these 4 games. I was just reading about it. And, like I said, it goes to the fact that these numbers are pretty solid. They're not going to – there was nothing that really jumped out. Wise guys like home dogs, and we could talk about that more in the next game. But,
sure.
For this game and the Saturday game, they're actually fairly split.
It struck me that, again, I don't believe in Cincinnati – going forward. I don't believe that in the next round they're going to be going to Foxborough and getting it done. But that doesn't preclude them winning and covering in this game. So I started to think about it, and I started to think that my disdain for Cincinnati as a playoff team and my sense that they're doomed for making a long run without Geno Atkins, they could get in the way going to happen here. And ultimately, I'm saying in this game that Cincinnati will cover the 7.
You know what's funny, Ricky? I think I like both these teams a lot more than you do.
Okay.
I really do. Remember, San Diego actually went 3-0 this year against Indy and KC. I have them rated higher than both of those teams. And by the way, a little tip of the cap here to me. How about that mid-season show we did when I predicted that the San Diego Chargers would make the playoffs? And I kept riding them. I kept going the weeks, and they found a way. Interestingly enough, we joked about it, I think, on Facebook, you and I, before they played Kansas City, right before that game kicked off. that I was in the position where, well, if they didn't make it, then Pittsburgh would make it, who was the team I said would get that slot before the year, and I kind of punted on them because they had that 0-4 start. And by the way, they should not whine about Ryan Suckup. They should whine about starting 0-4. That's the reason they didn't make the playoffs. Thank you very much. All right. So San Diego's kind of a hot team that I'm a little – I'm leery of this team. I know people go, like, oh, they kind of backed their way in. They got lucky to get in. This is a team that I'm telling you Cincinnati is not happy to see in the wild card round. Now, that said, the Chargers got kind of dealt a bad hand. We have not mentioned this yet. It is Rick Morris, the dreaded 1 p.m. Eastern time start for a West Coast team.
Yes.
So in addition to the weather, they're facing that too. So the schedule makers did them no favors. You talked about, you know, how we weren't surprised New Orleans, Philly got the prime time slot. I was a little surprised this didn't get the Saturday AFC slot. I mean, I think the Chargers are kind of at a real disadvantage with the early kick. But I don't want to lay this many points to the Bengals. Here's my hope, and I'm actually going to disagree with on the long-term fortune of the Bengals. Because what my hope is in this game, and the reason I'm not playing it, is I hope Cincinnati doesn't cover. More people take the opinion that you have, that you espouse there, and I'm taking them next week against New England.
Wow, okay.
Before the year, I said Cincinnati would get to the AFC title game. I'm actually not coming off that. I think Cincinnati can survive. If they can survive a close one here, I do think they can go to New England and beat the Patriots in Foxborough next week.
Well, at the risk of being, you know, Joe public mouth breather, my first gasp on that is you're saying Andy Dalton's going to go to Foxborough and beat Tom Brady. I guess that's why.
Joe Flacco did it last year. What's he doing now?
Joe Flacco, even before last year, had a better playoff record than did Andy Dalton. Joe Flacco had been to the AFC Championship game previously. I just don't find a lot to compare between Joe Flacco and what Andy Dalton has proven to date. I guess we'll find out. We shall see, and that's a real clip and save for next week.
Yeah, I was going to say, by the way, when can we do a podcast ripping at how terrible the Baltimore Ravens were this year?
Well, you teased it before. As we talked about off air, like we did last year, we're going to be recapping division by division at the end of the year. And I always really enjoy that. And going back and seeing where we were right and seeing where we were wrong, and that was a lot of fun. This takes us to our last game of the weekend, the number 3 rated San Francisco 49ers in the FDH Lounge Final Power Rankings on the road at the number 12 Green Bay Packers, San Francisco laying 2.5, had bounced up to 3, back to 2.5. You've indicated you think it'll probably end up around 3 by the time it's all said and done. For me, it just comes down to as simple as this, and I understand this is the most simplistic take of the weekend and why the public money is going where it's going and all of that good stuff, but Green Bay has to prove that they can shut down San Francisco. I understand that, again, you feel like this notion of momentum is really kind of overstated, but San Francisco really comes into the playoffs on a roll. 3 times in the last 2 seasons, Green Bay has proven that they don't have what it takes to stand up to the San Francisco offense. I just find it hard to believe that Aaron Rodgers coming back is going to be enough, because the Green Bay defense itself remains an absolute atrocity. So I like San Francisco laying the 2.5. I don't think it's going to come even close to that on the road. Could be double digits.
I've heard a lot of people say the same thing, Ricky. And as much as I'm willing to back off my hatred of road favorites come playoff time, not going to do it here. And look, I've got a lot of regard for the 49ers. I think they're the 3rd best team in the league. But I think the Packers are being severely undervalued here. Getting 3 in Lambeau with Aaron Rodgers, I think Rodgers does make the difference. Home dogs in the NFL playoffs since 1990, Rick. You knew I'd have this stat handy. 22-12 against the spread. Give me the 3. I think Rodgers pulls off a surprise and Green Bay advances.
Well, you know, Green Bay, the year that they went to the Super Bowl, again, they pulled off some very surprising wins on the way there. So it would be in keeping with the last great run that the Packers had. And looking at it here again, and San Francisco coming to the central time zone, I know it's not quite as bad with the 2-hour difference there. And again, it's a later afternoon kick anyways on Sunday, which is, you know, it's probably not going to be too big of an issue there. But
I don't think that's a factor at all.
No, I don't think that's a factor either. But again, San Francisco really playing some of their best football, getting back Michael Crabtree recently and starting to work him into the offense. Again, he's probably not 100% yet, but again, there's just so much that's going their way, and it would be a tremendous shock for them to bow out in the first round. And we've seen in recent years sometimes where a team loses in round one. I will say that if it happens to New Orleans, that's something that as recently as a few weeks ago would have really shocked us. First of all, I guess that they'd even be in the first round. Second of all, them losing there. So it wouldn't be entirely unprecedented, but everything that you're saying is persuasive, and the stat on home dogs and everything like that, I understand all of that. I guess my sense of it is I had picked San Francisco to go to the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year and actually to win it. And I'm backing off of that somewhat because I don't think they can win in Seattle, although I think it will be a dogfight and it will not be their third consecutive time of getting blown out. But I believe very, very strongly in the 49ers, such that, as I teased before, this is my first 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium ever for a playoff game. I'm extending it to the playoffs, and I'm putting my lock imprimatur on San Francisco laying the 2.5. I'm going there, Kyle.
Well, you are a road favorite, Ricky, so if you were, if there was ever a time to debut the 1,000-star lock of the week of the millennium, it would be on a road favorite. So yeah, I'm not surprised. And look, I'll be honest with you, I'm wrong on that game. I mean, I'm not going to be like, I can't believe the San Francisco 49ers advanced. I mean, they're a very good team. I just think that Green Bay getting points at home? And that, to me, is just, I mean, that I would be doing a disservice to myself if I...
Have you seen their defense, Kyle Ross? Have you seen their defense?
It's not awesome. I'll be honest with you. It's not awesome.
Okay. All right.
It's not the best. No, it's not the best.
I just had to work the condescending rhetorical question in there at least once. So,
okay, gotcha.
There we go. We're going to go a little bit big picture here at the end, since with four games we have the ability to do that. I touched on the NFC first. You and I have been saying for a long time, best four teams, the top two teams in the West and in the South. And in looking at it here, you and I, in terms of how we look at it, I've got both of those teams advancing that are playing this weekend, New Orleans and San Francisco. You've got San Francisco bowing out already. I got to think that that does nothing but solidify Seattle in your mind, because I think San Francisco is probably the only team that can stand up to them up there. Philly would be a very interesting wild card because of how they match up the teams, and they're probably the most unpredictable team as far as whether they can completely take somebody else out of their game. But I'm saying that Seattle and San Francisco, I think, probably meet in one of the subsequent games here, but I do like Seattle to go to the Super Bowl.
Before the year, I said the NFC Championship game would be Seattle versus Green Bay. I am sticking with that prediction.
Wow.
I believe Seattle will have no problem with New Orleans in the divisional round. And I believe Green Bay, with Aaron Rodgers, by the way, who, by the way, is not gay. I'd just like to let you know that, by the way.
Neither is Mike Piazza.
All of us. I'm glad you thought of that, too. That was the first thing that I thought of when I saw that thing. I was like, oh, God, we have another Mike Piazza situation. But Green Bay will then go to Carolina and win there as well. I actually think no matter who plays Carolina next week, the road team's going to win. Whether it's San Francisco, Green Bay, or Philly. It can be any of those three. It can be any of the teams besides New Orleans. I actually think Carolina is certainly the most the bye week team most susceptible to losing, just because they're not kind of used to that stage. But Green Bay will go to Carolina and win. But then I'm sticking with Seattle. I said before the year Seattle were in the Super Bowl, and I'm picking them to go. Obviously, last year I said they'd go to the Super Bowl, and I thought they were the best team even after they lost. So. Yeah, I think they atoned for last year. They've got the home field advantage. I know they lost to Arizona, but, you know, that might have been a wake-up call. That might have actually been more help than harm.
Well, so you're seeing then the Mike Holmgren Bowl for the NFC Championship game. I guess truck stop Jimmy Haslam can go up there and do the opening coin toss ceremonial, speaking here.
Well,
but,
and by the way, not only Mike Holmgren, you know what the big – that would obviously be the rematch of the Fail Mary game from last year, too. I'm sure that would get plenty of run.
Exactly, and we're going to take the ball and we're going to score. It brings back echoes of a lot of different games past, playoff games, regular season games, et cetera. Yeah, I'm looking for San Francisco next week to go into Carolina and beat them. I think New Orleans will get curb stomped in Seattle, as they always tend to do. NFC Championship game, I think it will be very competitive, but I think Seattle gets by. And by the way, too, all true football fans, unless you have a rooting interest, you should be rooting for Seattle and San Francisco in that game because, again, that's the late game this year. And if the early game is going to be New England and Denver, which we'll transition to talking about here in a second, it's going to be hard to find something that can follow that. And like with pro wrestling, I like a good build. I don't like my main event going on first. And if it's New England and Denver and it's anybody else at Seattle, then that's exactly how it's going to feel. It's going to be a very anticlimactic NFC Championship game, I think, if it is sans the 49ers. Although, like I said, the Eagles are kind of the variable in the bunch here. The Eagles, on any given Sunday, with their ability to throw anybody off, could do that. I'm looking at a scenario in the AFC where, again, I think both winners, as I've established this weekend, whoever they are, sacrificial lambs. I don't think Cincinnati can get it done. I think if they had Geno Atkins, as little as I believe in Andy Dalton in the postseason, I'd give them a fighting chance. I realize that New England is not the same team without Gronkowski and that they have really looked weak. They've already suffered a lot of defensive losses here with Mayo and Wilfork, et cetera. I still think they get past Cincinnati next week. I'm looking at a scenario where the Colts, I think, go into Denver and then get absolutely worked. AFC Championship game, why not, man? Manning and Brady, one last time here, potentially. Denver to get over and to go to the Super Bowl and lose to Seattle.
Before the year, I said the AFC Championship game would be Denver and Cincinnati. Same thing as the NFC. I'm not coming off that pick. I had good picks by me before the year. I had some bad ones, as we know individually. Good picks, though. This is the first time in a long time I can remember that I'm actually sticking with my preseason conference championship picks. Last year we thought Denver-New England was a formality in the conference championship game. That didn't happen with Denver failing to hold the end of the bargain. This year I think it's going to be New England. I do agree with you that Denver will crush the winner of Indy Kansas City. And then I have Denver beating Cincinnati at home in the AFC Championship game. By the way, before the year, I said Seattle versus Denver in the Super Bowl. Sticking to it. I said Seattle would win that game. I'm sticking to it. So I know that everyone's, ooh, home field advantage isn't much in recent years. I think this is the year that, kind of bucks the trend. You have two very good home teams as the one seed, Seattle and Denver. So I see them going to the Super Bowl and the Seahawks winning.
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, put another tongue on your virtual microphone there, Kyle, because, yeah, you did make these picks at the beginning of the year. You were right. My AFC champion, I will own it. There, I was not the only one to say this, but the Houston Texans, yes, the same Houston Texans that went 2-14 and will have the first pick in the NFL draft, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl. Again, that collapse that they had, one of those kind of avalanche kind of deals, and again, they're going to bounce back next year. An early nugget when we do our picks here. Bill O'Brien going into a very good situation, certainly better than the situation that exists with my pathetic Cleveland Browns. So Houston will bounce back, but yeah, I had said San Francisco over Houston in the Super Bowl. Still think the 49ers can make it, believe in them more than you do this weekend in this spot here, but I am joining you on the Seattle v. Denver bandwagon. Last note about that, I did notice when I was looking this up that most books have Seattle, if it comes to that, laying at least a couple of points against Denver, which, again, I wasn't sure. You know, Denver is a big public team. Everybody's going to be like, OMG, Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl. He can't lose. But apparently the books have anticipated that Seattle would still be a favorite in that scenario, which I think is appropriate.
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, I know that right now there's the mythical line you could do where you can actually right now just bet the NFC champ against the AFC champ. The NFC champ blind is a 2.5-point favorite over the AFC. You can actually bet that right now. If you just want to bet the NFC champion to win the Super Bowl, they're a 2.5-point favorite. Some people would have that line closer to a pick'em, and obviously it's going to depend how they both of them have to get there first. I don't want to jinx them, but depending on how they look, I would bet that game would be closer to a pick'em than...
Okay.
Yeah, I really would. I really would. Some of the guys I follow had those teams rated dead even atop their power rankings. I did have Seattle slightly ahead, but not by a considerable margin. My line, if I was making it, would be Seattle -1.
Okay. All right. Okay. I think it'll be a little bit more than that, probably not much more than that. All right. Just to wrap up here, your picks for the weekend, Kansas City, New Orleans, Green Bay. My 1,000-star gold player lock of the millennium for this is San Francisco. My other picks are Cincinnati, New Orleans, and Indianapolis. A pleasure as always, Kyle. We shall reconvene for the divisional round.
Can't wait.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you all for joining us today.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.